Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig on Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on your Sunday morning. Man, has it not been a one beautiful week in Southeast Iowa? You know, folks, living in Iowa is just amazing. Where can you go from on a Tuesday having 97 degrees to go to Friday and stay in the middle 50s? And it's just amazing how it all works. But we have those transitions in our weather patterns, and it's just amazing how God is up to whatever he does and just is in full control. We're thankful for that. Also, too, another exciting time that I think to watch is you see the farmers out in the field starting to work, take out the corn, I haven't seen any beans start going out yet, but it's just so cool to watch them working, families working together, friends working together, all due to the fact of getting that harvest of what has been done, produced a God of what he's done in the middle of in the summertime, producing the rain, the sunshine, and all the things that he does so that we might have a harvest. And I just encourage you folks, with that being said, it is again another busy time, which means a lot of times we'll see tractors and wagons headed down the highway or even semis and all that stuff. Just give these men and women a break because they're just trying to do their job. And we do live in the state of Iowa, which honors that. So I just encourage you to pay attention to what's going on, and it will all work out and you will still get there on time. Maybe just be a little bit more diligent and give yourself that extra 5 minutes to get out the door. With that being said, we got a few things that are coming up. Just to remind you, in Vital Ministries, Vital Men are back and we are having a great time. In Oskaloosa, we are in the Vital Ministries building. We go from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Also, too, in Ottumwa, they're on Tuesday night as well. So if you're down in that portion of the region, they're down to the Hub, which is the Bridge Church. That's their location. They call it, Marty calls it the Hub, their location. So they meet on Tuesday nights. You can go on our website, or you can also check things out on the Hub and see that at the Bridgeview Center. Also, too, we have Kendall Brown. He takes care of us over to Knoxville. He's also on Tuesday night. But we also started something new in Wednesday night in New Sharon. We have started a new location at the Lighthouse Church. And if you don't have anything you want to get plugged in with men, I just encourage you to be a part of that. It's just a great time. We're going through the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, looking at the life of King David and looking at what he has done in his life, the pros and the cons, the hills and the valleys and all that stuff. What a great teaching that is and how that applies to our lives. Also, too, we send out devotionals 6 days a week. My wife writes for Vital Life, and it is an encouraging word. She'll give you a portion of scripture and then a nugget that goes alongside with you. And I just encourage you to go to vitalministries.org, check that out. You can get plugged in. And also, too, we have Vital Devotions for Men Only. And that's with five different writers, five times a week that get sent out. You don't want to miss out on this stuff, folks. It is some really good. And men, especially for that, for you, I just encourage you to be a part of that, to plug in your day, to get started, get things headed on the right track, and it's just some really good stuff. So, and then also, too, just a reminder, like any ministry, we need help. We need help financially. That helps us keep going. That helps us pay for the radios, the Vital Gathering, all the different things that we do for Vital itself. So if you'd like to be a supporter of Vital Ministries, you can go to our website, vitalministries.org. You can pay online, or you can also, too, it gives you an opportunity to send your check. We are a 501, so any donation is a tax credit back to you. And just encourage you to be a part of that as well. So just some quick things that are going on. But we're going to jump in this morning because we got a lot of stuff to cover. And I just think it's going to be a good morning for us. So if you're traveling down the highway today, you've turned it on KBOE 104.9 FM. Thank you for listening as you're headed down the highway. I encourage you to be a part of what's going on today. Some really, really good stuff. Also, to those that are headed on their way to church, thank you for being a part of Vital Ministries and taking time on your way to church to listen to Vital. And also, to those that sit and listen at home, maybe they're in their shop, they're in their house, you've come up to me multiple times and just say, hey, Mike, listen to you every Sunday morning. I want to give a big shout out to everyone. Thank you for being part of that. And I just enjoy doing it. I just want to reflect and give God all the honor and all the glory for what we do right here on Sunday morning for Vital Ministries. But let's jump in. Last week, we finished all eight of the Beatitudes or people groups in which they reflect the life of Jesus. It's very important for every believer to fit in one way or another in these people groups in order to extend the gospel message of Jesus himself. I've recently been traveling all the way down to Lamoni to begin building a house. And the only reason why we're traveling that far is for my brother-in-law. And normally we do not travel that far out. We like to try to keep it within 45-minute drive. But due to the fact, and it's family, what do? You jump in, you help out, and you do what you're asked to do. But it just gives you time to think. And if it wasn't for family, we would definitely not have done it. But we're just thankful for the project and thankful that we can build his new forever home. And that's pretty awesome. One of the things that was interesting in this project, I met a dirt guy, an excavator. His name is Bill, and he's just from what I would call the old school stuff of how he does things. He's very precise. He can see things in dirt, kind of like my father. They can see dirt before it's even moved to see the shape of what the land could be. And it's just amazing what these men can do. But Bill, he's, again, from the old school, and we were going out and talking about for the foundation and to dig it. And he said, Mike, down here, we only dig the basement. We don't dig the garage. We don't dig the frost footings. They'll come in, they'll pour, and then we'll come back and dig, and then they'll do that again. And I said, well, Bill, we don't do it that way. Well, it kind of got even interesting things back and forth, kind of a battering thing going on. And I really wanted to do everything I could to respect him for what was going on. And we just talked through it, and then finally he made that agreement. But here's a couple things as we get ready to do our teaching this morning that I think kind of goes alongside with what happened at that project, which two things that struck me that with the conversation of Bill. The first one is this. The Beatitude, blessed are those who work for peace. Man, I tell you what, I really had to work at it because we were going back and forth and he was wanting his perspective. I was wanting him to see my perspective because the things that I understood what he was trying to say. He says, that's just how we do it down here, Mike. And I said, but I understand that. But my cousin is coming from Grimes, Brent, and he's going to come and pour our foundations for us. And he's going to pour in 2 days. He'll pour the footings on one day, and he'll come in and pour the walls the second day. And on the third day, they'll take the forms off the foundation, and they leave. They're gone. So that was a perspective that Bill had not really seen in that area due to the fact there's obviously not very many foundation wall crews because just due to the fact there's less populated, I would say, in those lower 1 to 2 tiers alongside the Iowa and Missouri border. It was interesting. And we talked about pumps and all the different things. He said, well, good luck with that. Well, I said, that's okay, because my cousin, he owns a pump company. That won't be a problem. We just got to get concrete here. But it was just kind of interesting going back and forth. But I was trying to keep peace in the process. But there's another one, too. The next thing that, as we're going to talk about this morning, is salt and light. And I had the opportunity, which was I going to be? Was I going to be salty in the midst of that? We're going to go into deep conversation about that this morning. Was I going to be salty with that our time together with Bill and I? Or was I going to be light in the same time? And I think it's important for us when we get into these situations in life that we have to make a choice, not only because we're really going to try to be part of a roadmap to the kingdom of heaven and God places us in these positioning points. We have to make a conscious effort to be positioned so we are ready. So I'm going to read this portion. We've went through all 8 Beatitudes, but then Jesus, when it's all over with the Beatitudes, he says this, and I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 13. He says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its favor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand and where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Now, there's some really good stuff. I'm going to try to look at that this morning and kind of break it down for better words of saying and just see how that means. But see, Jesus used the concept of salt and light a number of different times to refer to the role of his followers in this world as we live. Example that we just read out of Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 13. And again, it says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but salt loses sight and no longer is meant for anything. Good. See, this is important. Why would Jesus use salt as an illustration? And I just love it because he uses illustrations to connect with people. And also, too, I like the idea of it. I think he does the KISS system where we keep it simple. And I think that's important as we talk to people. See, salt had two purposes in the Middle East of the first century. Because of the lack of refrigeration, also, too, salt was used to preserve food, especially meat, which would quickly spoil in that desert environment. See, believers in Christ are preservatives to the world, preserving it from the evil inherent, the society of the ungodly men who unredeemed natures are corrupted by sin. That comes from both Psalms 14:3 and Romans 5:8. See, that's important for us to realize of salt. Salt is used for something to make something flavorful. I don't know about you, but there's nothing better when I have a piece of meat, nothing better than a steak. If you can imagine with me just a second. Man, you get this steak, and after you get it barbecued, and even when you're barbecuing, what do? Most people will put salt on it to enhance that flavor, to make it more flavorful. You know, obviously our doctors don't like that stuff because it's hard on our bodies, but we like to salt things. It just simply makes it taste better. But the second half of the salt, this is interesting, was used as flavor enhancer. In the same way, salt enhances the flavor of food, which we just talked about. The followers of Christ stand out as those who enhance flavor in the life of the world. You ever thought about that? Are you salt, which enhances flavor? Or are you somebody who's simply unsalty and nobody wants to hang out and be around? You know, I find it interesting is on construction sites and different things is what I've done in my life. There's just a couple of men that do work for us that have big Hispanic crews. And one of them is my cousin from Des Moines up in the Grimes area, Brent. He has a whole measure of Hispanic people who come and do the concrete work and help him get things accomplished. And the thing that I really try to do, because majority of the time I know they can't understand what I'm saying and I can't understand what they're saying. But one thing that I try to do is I try to thank them for the work that they're doing because they're hard workers. They really get after it and go after it. And I think that's part of the, you know, we want to get frustrated with that people coming in over the border. And I'm all with that, man. We got to have border control without a doubt. But here's something that's important. Who's going to do those tasks that we have chosen not to do anymore? And I just appreciate those men because they go out and they work hard. They're trying to provide for their families and they just get it done. The other one is Adam. Adam, he has Adam's Roofing here locally in the southeastern Iowa, especially in Oskaloosa and the surrounding communities. Adam also has another crew that goes out and he puts on a lot of roofs. They do tear-offs or for us, new construction. And there's usually, he has several of those men up on the roof laying shingles, and Adam's kind of what I would call an orchestrator. He's conducting those men and making sure things are getting, they got product and all that. But one thing I always do with those men, I thank them for working. Hey, thanks for working, especially on hot days. Man, they're not like the rest of us where we're looking for some cool shade and trying to head for a porch and drink a nice tea. No, these guys, they stay through it. They'll stay out in the heat of the summer. Now, it's interesting. They cover up, whereas a lot of times as us, we don't. We uncover. They cover. I think that's a smarter decision on their part. But the reason why I'm saying that this morning is, am I enhancing what is going on in their lives? Am I being salty in such a way? See, Christian living under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the obedience of Christ will inevitably influence the world for good. Isn't that so? As salt has a positive influence on the flavor of foods, its seasons, where there is strife, we are to be peacemakers, which I just shared with you this morning. Where there is sorrow, we are to be ministers of Christ, binding up wounds. And where there is hatred, we are to exemplify the love of God in Christ, returning good for evil. You know, that's not only that we find that in Matthew chapter 5, but it's also related in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Which are you? Are you being salty? Are you enhancing what God's doing? Do you have the people groups, the Beatitudes? Are you living them out and being part of your life? See, it's important for us as Christians to realize that that as we do life, we're literally the living Bible to most people who don't read the Bible. The closest they're ever going to read it is by your words and your actions. Man, I tell you what, that's a tough word. I'm going to say that again this morning. People will only see the Bible closest is by your own words and your own actions because they don't open the book. Are you being that living Bible? And I think that's just important. Another one is this, an analogy of light. We're going to talk about light a little bit this morning. In the light of the world, the good works of Christ's followers are to shine for all to see. I think that's so important. My daughter and my son-in-law, they have just started a business, both have a cafe and a coffee shop there out in Colorado Springs, and they call it Sizzu, which means bravery at all times. But what they're doing is, I love that. They got a lot of young people. They got a lot of college students that work for them in both their restaurant and their coffee house. But what their primary goal is that is a source of ministry. Both my daughter and my son-in-law were in full-time ministries as youth pastors and in the church. And I tell you what, being in ministry and being on staff, it's not easy. Man, it takes a lot of work, and you got to have the right culture in the midst of it and the right leadership for it to make it happen. And if you don't, it does not work. But what I have found in, and I'm thankful for that, we need people to be pastors. We need youth ministers. We need worship leaders, all those things to enhance the church itself. But again, a lot of times we miss our directed scene. The greatest ministry that we can do is truly outside the four walls of the church. And that's just important. That's where you and I come in. Because if we're going to truly be salt in life, we have to make choices in how we are. It gets back to that because, again, my daughter and my son-in-law, they have chosen to allow their business to be a ministry. Yes, they make money with it. Who doesn't go out and do a business that doesn't try to make money? That's important. It's interesting because I'm going to give you another a look at that. I've been looking at a piece of equipment, heavy equipment and stuff like that. I just love Caterpillar stuff, just some good stuff. And I'm looking at possibly a dozer and stuff to work on our farm and do some other things. And what was interesting is, you know, man, if you ever go out and price heavy equipment, it is not cheap. It's really, really expensive. And especially now because it's really hard to get. And just like anything else, there's always a waiting time to do it. Well, anyways, with this young man by the name of Austin, he works for Ziegler Cat up in the Altoona. And I just had a good conversation with him. We're talking about different things and whatnot. He's just a young guy, young man, and he started in, and he knows a little bit about the product. He's not really in depth about it, but I gave him grace in the mix of it because this is important. Far greater than whether I buy or I don't buy a piece of equipment for him is whether or not I am salt in the process, salt and light. And that's what I'm really choosing to do, that I want to be light. See, another one is this. In the analogy of light to the world, the good works of Christ's followers are to shine bright. See, in the following verse that we saw in Matthew chapter 5 highlight this truth. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Man, when you think about that, it all goes back. Your light is the light that people see, which goes back and glorifies the Father himself. These are Jesus's words. These are, when you get in the Bible, these are red letter words to give us an example how we do life. See, the idea here is similar. The presence of light in darkness is something that is unmistakable. The presence of Christians in the world must be light in darkness, not only in the sense that the truth of God's word brings light to a darkened hearts of sinful men, but also the sense that our good deeds must be evident for all to see. And indeed, our deeds will be evident if they are performed in accordance with the other principles that Jesus mentions in this passage, such as the Beatitudes, which we have spent weeks on looking at. But notice especially that the concern is not that Christians would stand out for their own sake, but that they who are looked on might glorify the Father in heaven. See, the light isn't about us, folks. The light is to come back to Jesus, come back to our Heavenly Father. And I think that's the purpose of a lot of times of how we do life. How are we doing things to glorify God itself? I don't know about you, but it is more and more really tough not to be impatient. You know, it said one of the things that I said, and I'm going to give you an umbrella of mercy here, if you would, on the words sometimes I've heard people say, I don't do stupid very well. I don't know about you, but at times it feels like that, doesn't it? In all honesty, and let's just be truthful about it. But how do we handle that in the midst of being salt and light? If we have a concept of looking at that people, for the most part, don't know or don't understand, and because of that, we simply think, for better words of saying, again, umbrella of mercy, think they're stupid, how good are we going to get along in life itself, right? Isn't that so true? But in view of these verses, as we sort these things out, that they truly hinder or prevent Christians from following their role as being salt and light in the world. This passage, folks, clearly states that the difference between Christian and the world must be preserved. Therefore, any choice on our part that blurs the distinction between us and the rest of the world is a step in the wrong direction. This can happen either through a choice to accept the ways of the world for the sake of comfort or convenience, or to contrive the law of obedience to God. We have a choice of what we're going to do. Yes, without a doubt, we live in the world. But Jesus says, although that we live in the world, we're not to act of the world. And I think that's essential and that's important. You know, this past week, one of our guys in Vital Ministries and our Vital Men group made this statement. He said, what is it that we're putting into our minds? What are we watching? What are we hearing? Because what happens is when we start doing those things, we start acting those things out. And I thought that is so true. You got to really pay attention to what you're watching on television. You got to really pay attention to what you're listening on your radio as you're traveling. You got to really pay attention to what you're getting off your iPad or your phone as you're listening. Because a lot of times I've noticed people will actually use their phone as a measure of listening to music. Now, the importance upon this is it setting you in a mindset of being salt and light? Or is it simply bringing more darkness into your life? That's a hard one, isn't it? When you think about it, because we got so much stuff that comes on us as we go and we do life itself. And I have found since we have moved out on our small farm, my wife and I, that we truly watch less television, and what we do watch, we usually stream. And that way we have a choice of what we see or what we do in the midst of that. But folks, I just encourage you today that give yourself an opportunity to be salt and light. Salt and light in the places that you work. Salt and light in the places that you do business. Salt and light as you live out around your family. What do they see? Do they see men and women of God, or do they see something, nothing more than another person with darkness in their heart? Man, what this world needs, folks, is without a doubt to change things is Christ. But before we can change the world, we have to change within us. What are we reflecting? What are we saying? How do people perceive on what we're doing in life? And I don't know about you folks, I am challenged by that. Because the world's a lot of times will come at you and it will knock your knees right out from underneath you, and you are laying flat on the ground and you have a choice to make. Are you going to get bitter or are you simply going to get better? Which will it be? And I think that's important. It's essential. Because life is hard, isn't it, folks? But aren't you glad that you got the hope in Christ in your life? And out of that, we can reflect salt and light. And, you know, when I think about light, one thing that's interesting in our small little farm across the road from where we live, we got a place where we keep a paddock where we keep our horses and our cattle, and we have a light on that stays on all night long. And out in the country without light, it gets really, really dark. But when I go over there and look from my home across the road and see the light, I can see what is going on. It's literally a light on top of a hill. I can watch, I can perceive anybody there, anything moving around. Is there any animals that shouldn't be there? I can see it because it's a light on a hill. And Jesus, again, gave us that example. Are you being a light on top of a hill? Or are you in your life just creating more darkness? We have a choice in how we do life. And again, folks, the closest thing that a lot of times people will ever read the Bible will be out of you, how you act, how do you treat other people. Because if you're not living it, they're not going to read it. I'm going to say that again. If you're not living the Bible, they're not going to read the Bible because you're the closest one. So folks, be encouraged this morning to be salt and life and choose in your life to make things to be different and the places that you go to be a better place. Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity of what salt and light is. I pray that even in my own life today, on Sunday, I get a chance to go to church. I get a chance to be around other people. Yeah, I'm around other Christians. But again, is my word salt and light, or are they darkness? And when I take what I've learned on Sunday to go out on Monday to help me throughout my week to be salt and light, help me to be the man of God you've called me, and also to the people that are listening. Help them to be the men and women of God that you've called them to be, that we might be a light on a hill for you, that everything that we say and do, Father, glorifies you. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, again, this is the last teaching that we're going to be doing on the Beatitudes, the roadmap to the kingdom of heaven. I hope you're encouraged. What's your choice today? Salt and light. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.